See You Now is a podcast highlighting the innovative and human-centered solutions that nurses are coming up with to solve for today's most challenging healthcare problems. Created in collaboration with Johnson & Johnson and the American Nurses Association, and hosted by nurse economist and health tech specialist, Shauna Butler.
Traveling around this big state of Texas, there are incredible access to care issues. A lot of our emergency hospital systems are shutting down. Our smaller hospitals are closing. Even where we have the rural access hospitals, we don't have the personnel to staff these hospitals. Some people will travel 2 to 3 hours to get to health care. How do we increase that access to health care to everybody who not only needs it but deserves that care?
Welcome to See You Now. I'm Shauna Butler. Access to care. That's a frequently used term of art in many healthcare conversations and priorities that covers a whole host of concerns centered on the ease or difficulty of obtaining healthcare services. And access to care encompasses many dimensions that evolve as technology creates new possibilities, like point of care diagnostics or electronic health records, and policies establish new permission structures, like buying hearing aids and birth control over the counter, or nurses practicing with one multi-state professional license, all of which increase access to care. In 1993, the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine defined access as the timely use of personal health services to achieve the best possible health outcomes. In their report, they centered on which communities encounter the greatest barriers and challenges to accessing care, what those challenges are, what happens when they go unaddressed, and what solutions and policies are most effective. It probably won't surprise anyone that rural communities, where roughly 20% of Americans call home, encounter a constellation of significant barriers. Ideally, people in rural areas should be able to conveniently and confidently access services such as primary care, dental care, maternity care, behavioral health, emergency care, and public health services. In this episode, we're taking a road trip, going deep in the heart of Texas, a state where 83% of its 270,000 square miles of land is made up of farms, ranches, and forests, with over 4 million people living in these rural areas. At the steering wheel is a nurse practitioner who knows, loves, and is committed to using every approach possible to addressing access to care issues, not only in the rural areas, the places where people are hard to reach and often hardly reached, but also driving towards solutions where everyone, regardless of where they live, have access to the quality care they deserve. Buckle up and let's giddy up.
Hi, I'm Barbara Chapman. I'm a family nurse practitioner and I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner. I am also an associate professor at the University of North Texas, where I am teaching in the Master of Science in Nursing Practice Innovation program. I'm on the board of directors for the Texas Nurse Practitioners, and I also participate at the Texas Nurses Association on the Regulations and Practice Committee. I also have a very specific interest. It's a passion and it's a purpose in providing access to health care across not just Texas, not across the country, but around the world, of how do we increase that access to health care to everybody who not only needs it but deserves that care. Traveling around this big state of Texas, I have had the opportunity to go from North Texas to South Texas to East Texas to West Texas, Central Texas. And the amazing thing about Texas is that every single part of it is different. When I think of the Rio Grande Valley, I think of the people, the vastness of that area, the orchards, you know, where the fruits come from. That whole part of Texas provides just a whole nother ecosystem to the rest of the state, a whole nother level of how we can really self-sustain because of that fruit and because of those communities. East Texas has a whole different look. There are pine trees. It's full of pine trees. It's actually the plant capital of the South in little towns like New Summerfield. When you go to Tyler or to Longview, you know, you travel these beautiful, beautiful roads that are full of just pine trees. It's called the Pine Curtain a lot of times because people are kind of hidden. So close to Louisiana. There's a lot of the Louisiana and Cajun, not just the culture, but the foods that infiltrate and come into that area. When I am in West Texas, the very far parts, let's go to El Paso. El Paso is beautiful. You've got the Davis Mountain Range there. I've been through that Davis Mountain Range to towns like Marfa and Alpine, where it's flat and it's very arid. You have the McDonnell Douglas Observatory out there where you can see stars forever. And if you go out at night and it's on a clear night in winter between Marfa and the Mexican border to Ojinaga, Mexico, the stars out there are incredible. You can actually feel like you can touch them. The food in El Paso is a different type of Mexican food that is different from something that you would get even in North Texas. The North Texas area in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, in this whole Tri-Cities area, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of different cultures that are melding together in this environment that is growing almost by hundreds a day. You can feel it. Then when I moved down toward Austin, San Antonio, a little bit slower pace of life, different cultures there. Then the Gulf Coast, you've got the incredible fishing towns, you've got people right there on the water. I've seen people just take the fish out of the Gulf and prepare it right there. Texas has just some incredible opportunities all across the state. And the people who are in those communities are very different. But at the same time, you can see some of the same values and the same wants and desires for kids and for healthcare and for community. And so it's really incredible to have the opportunity to go to those places and just, you know, absorb yourself in all the different pieces that come together in this really amazing culture that we have here. It does include snakes and armadillos. You have to be on the lookout often. Armadillos don't bother me. Snakes, I keep a healthy lookout for. Not just snakes and armadillos or scorpions. There are things that are out there, and you have to be mindful of that in Texas. So in the state of Texas, we have this really big state with a lot of different areas. There are some very similar needs, healthcare needs, and it doesn't matter what community I'm in. You see some of the same economic barriers, healthcare needs, access to care issues. People, whether they're behind that Pine Curtain in East Texas, or whether they are in that Rio Grande Valley, or whether they are way out in the other side of Texas in El Paso, there are incredible access to care issues in all of these populations. So that is what I'm seeing that is similar. And some of the similar healthcare needs are diabetes, high blood pressure. You know, the chronic diseases are what I see the most. And so that's where we can make some big changes because we can work on reducing those chronic healthcare disparities. For example, looking back at COVID and even moving forward, so many women did not get their mammograms. And although that was triggered by COVID, it continues today. So that is something that I see that is incredibly needed across the whole state. Some areas of Texas, surprisingly, a lot of people still smoke. And you want to do education of smoking. When I go into a region, I have to look at what's happening in that population. Vaccinations. I mean, the vaccinations are not being managed for many reasons. A lot of times, some of these areas have very high uninsured rates because you have to look at in certain counties or in certain areas, these are very mobile populations and they don't tend to have employer-based insurances. For example, in East Texas, this was a high migrant farm worker area. So people were moving. Some of the other problems that I see that are common in Texas, there are very long distances between healthcare provider and healthcare provider. Some people will travel 2 to 3 hours to get to healthcare. Then they have to travel 2 to 3 hours to get back home. What I've seen a lot of times are people who come in families because they will all come together to be seen. And so the infrastructure is not in place for these communities. Even if we were to set up a clinic, finding people who would come and work in those areas is very difficult. A lot of our emergency hospital systems are shutting down. Our smaller hospitals are closing. Our access hospitals are being shut down. So people now don't have access to the services that were there, and that's causing them to have to drive even further to get to care. Even in some of these rural access hospitals, we don't have the personnel to staff these hospitals, especially the specialty areas or the clinics that may even be there. We're facing a big crisis in the state of Texas when it comes to healthcare providers and the healthcare workforce. It's not even just money. It has to do with the volume of the providers that we have available. It's very difficult to get, especially specialty care, out into these areas. Neurosurgeons are not going to typically be set on the border of Texas. That doesn't mean that they aren't. It just means that that's typically not where they're going to go. And then to get nurses or even other healthcare workforce to go out into East Texas or out into West Texas. Some areas of Texas, there are very few people, but they still need healthcare. So we've got to look at how do we structure the system in the state? How do we get access to people? Mobile healthcare is one of the ways to do that. If we are mobile around the state of Texas, if we have a system set up, then we can set our locations, we can set our dates. It can be on a schedule. It can be broadcast to every single part of those communities in the state. And then that can address some of those workforce shortages and those care issues. So when you have a mobile healthcare unit or multiple mobile healthcare units, you can take those units into these areas and set up and provide a variety of healthcare services. So typically, a mobile healthcare unit is like a big bus or a big van. You can either drive the mobile unit, the mobile unit can be pulled by a truck, but the big bus that typically that you think of with the logo on the side that will display whatever the organization is that you're working with, whether it's a university or whether it's a healthcare clinic, these units are usually parked in parking lots that are by schools. A high school or an elementary school. It could be in a church. It can be a church parking lot, even in front of a city hall, even to looking at, can you park in front of something like a Salvation Army, where you know that people are going to be coming, where they need care there as well. So I usually have two different exam rooms on a clinic. Typically, there can be two nurse practitioners. There is a medical assistant that triages the patient and inputs it into the electronic medical system. And then we've got our equipment that we're going to be doing our testing on. If we're fortunate enough to have one of those big awnings, we will open up our awning. Sometimes we've got these bigger mobile units where, for example, there could be a big television on the outside where we're able to show information on healthcare or on services that are provided, also followed by a smaller unit. The smaller unit can be even for just one person. A lot of times the smaller one-person units are used for mental health, but they will go out, buy a McDonald's and park in the McDonald's parking lot and provide vaccinations and primary healthcare visits, healthcare screenings, sports physicals, which so many kids are needing before they go back to school. I've done hundreds of those on these units as well. A lot of times when we do those, we'll affiliate with a school system. So we'll go to a school system and we'll pull up in the parking lot of the school and kids will just come in one at a time and we'll have separate exam rooms, and the sports physicals will be able to be completed on those units. We could do testing, we could do women's exams, we could do men's healthy exams. If we do the mobile units around the state of Texas, think about creating a circle, and that circle represents a month. You can go from town to town to town about every 3 to 4 days, making that whole circle, where in a 1 month time, you would actually rotate back to that same location. So for example, if I were to prescribe a medication and I needed follow up with you, you would not only be able to see me, I will be back to your location in a month, but you will also have the ability to reach out to me via telehealth if there's a problem in between. So that's one of the ways that we can increase access. Right now, I've looked at 24 zones around the state. And if we utilize mobile units in these 24 zones, we can increase access to about 7.2 million Texans. So I've been talking a lot about rural care, but one of the biggest problems that we have is access to health care. And all of the access to care is not necessarily centered around the rural communities. I also look at suburban areas, because the suburban areas are a lot of times overlooked. Even though there are a lot of activities and a lot of clinics in those areas, that doesn't necessarily mean that people in those areas have access to healthcare, or that those people can afford healthcare. For example, I volunteered for years at a free clinic in McKinney, Texas. And you look at McKinney, Texas, Collin County, which is one of the wealthiest counties in the state of Texas. The patients that we would see are below the poverty level. And the amount of patients that were on our patient profile were in the thousands. So when you have thousands of people on your patient panel that volunteers are seeing in one of the wealthiest counties in the state of Texas, there's a problem. There's a problem. Your healthcare should not be dictated by your zip code. Doesn't matter where I go, whether it is rural or whether it's in any part of the state, one of the big issues that I see over and over again is the need or the access to mental health care. In Texas, 38% of the adults have symptoms of anxiety and depression, and 30% of these need counseling. Mobile units are one of the ways we can also deliver the mental health care that we need. We have a problem in Texas with our ability to connect to the internet. There are zones in the state of Texas where you can go and you just completely lose your signal. So with the mobile units, the closer that I can get to those areas, the better I can have access to the people there. If they cannot get to me on the mobile unit and see me for mental health care needs, I can at least jump over that if I'm closer to reaching out to having them have the mental health care that they need. One of the things that we really need in the state is our collaborative care model. Although I can integrate these services, and although I can get closer in mobile units to the people who might need the health care, when somebody comes in and they are there even for a routine screening, or if somebody is being seen for a hypertension or diabetes, there is a mental health component associated with all of that. When I give a diagnosis to somebody of diabetes, for example, that is a lot to take in. And it takes more than just one visit. It takes more than just one provider to talk to that patient and to make sure that they are comfortable, for example, just with that diagnosis. The collaborative care model allows me to connect them with a dietitian, connect them with a diabetic educator. So having that collaborative care model is really critical to patient care and outcomes. During the pandemic, we saw how so many people were needing health care. Our healthcare workers were under a lot of strain. Our educators were under a lot of strain. And our students, you know, I'm also a professor, so the students were having difficulty accessing their clinical needs. So in working through that, we were able to look at a mental health care resource, a free mental health care outreach line that we provided to teachers, to even students if they were needed. But more importantly, we were able to put students in there to help other students. And we were able to put students in there to teach them how to work with the population of people who were having trouble. And it was free. We have now expanded that because from the repercussions of some of the things we saw in the pandemic, we're now seeing a big shift of nurses leaving the profession. The Texas Nurses Association has asked, how can we help nurses? And so we're in the process of developing a new outreach program that is for nurses by nurses, and we've named this NurseLink 254. In the state of Texas, there are 254 counties, and that's why we went to NurseLink 254. So much of what I have been talking about has to do with funding, and that involves legislative funding, that involves legislative appropriations, because although we can have one or two mobile units through a university or through a grant, it does not address the state issue or even the issue across the country of how do we get to people, and this has to be funded. So looking at my particular role as a nurse practitioner and a legislative ambassador, I have visited so many of our representatives in the legislature at the House level and at the Senate level. The common ground is every single one of the legislators have constituents that need access to care. And working together, how do we increase that access? So one of the legislative approaches to access to care is that all providers are working at the top of their education level, that we have increased our workforce to everybody that we have available to us to help reduce this access to care issue. And I think that if we're addressing this issue at a systemic level, we've got to look at this across the country. So we have different ways that we can address this. One of them is through technology, and I've discussed that a little bit. One of the other ways that we can look at how do we increase access is through funding. And the funding options can come through the legislative access. And another big, really important piece of this is the innovative approach of using the collaborative care model. The collaborative care model is going to be a key component to making sure that patients are being treated holistically. But it has to do with all of the pieces together. So all of these components must be addressed so that we can provide the care that we have been licensed to provide and that we have been educated and certified to bring to the patients across the country. At the University of North Texas Health Science Center, we have started a brand new innovation program for nurses. And the reason that we were tasked to begin this program through the state of Texas was because we have such a shortage in nurses. The incredible part of this is that we came together as a team from all areas. We have the opportunity to build something that's never been built for our students, to educate them in a way that is different from any other education that they may have received in the past. And innovation is one of the ways that we can do that. And to be able to take a person who is being trained from the very beginning of their career through a master's level or a doctoral level, that they will not only learn what they need to learn in the basics and the important didactic education, but that they will also receive information and training and exposure to innovation. And innovation is the key. That's where we're going to make a big difference in nursing. That's where nurses will start elevating their voices across the country. Because when we are innovators practicing at the top of our education, learning other components such as finance, how do you learn how to finance all of this? How do you make the pieces work? How do you operationalize something? That's the dream. That's the dream.
Special thanks to nurse practitioner, innovator, and healthcare access champion, Barbara Chapman. Access to care in rural areas is a massive challenge, a Texas-sized challenge. And as Barbara outlines, it's not any one issue. There are many dimensions, including proximity, workforce, infrastructure, technology, policy, cost, culture, and more, that are barriers to accessing care. And her many years of caring for communities and people across Texas reveal the need for creating delivery models that are accessible, system-wide, convenient, collaborative, and centered on the whole person. So when we're screening for and caring for high blood pressure and diabetes, we're also screening and caring for stress and anxiety. And no one is driving 3 to 4 hours to receive or deliver care. While many of her miles of experience have been in Texas communities, Barbara shares that the road to improved access to care for all communities needs a suite of solutions, including technology, innovative care models, workforce development and support, legislation, and system-level funding, and everyone working together, regardless of how close or far their nearest neighbor or clinic is. If you haven't yet, subscribe to See You Now wherever you listen to podcasts and catch up on every episode as we continue to explore brilliant ideas from nurses addressing the hardest challenges in healthcare. For See You Now, I'm Shauna Butler. Thanks for listening.
Nurses are transforming healthcare through innovation, compassion, and leadership. And Johnson & Johnson is proud to continue its 125-year commitment to champion nurses through recognition, skill building, leadership development, and more. The American Nurses Association is dedicated to building a culture of innovation. Nurses improve the lives of patients and communities through innovative thinking, empathetic connection, scientific rigor, and sheer determination. ANA is proud to support and advocate for our nation's most valuable healthcare resource, our nurses. For more information on See You Now and to listen to any of the earlier episodes in our library, visit seeyounowpodcast.com.